Okay, ready, starting me.
Okay, good. Okay.
It's about to begin a new Sugya of Tzad. We just barely touched on it for a moment at the end of last week. We'll really start over again. So, of course, we know Tzeda, Tzad, is one of the Lamdas and Lachas, as we already said before. Much of the Lamdas around the principles of the Roshen Miskave, the Melach Shem Tzich Lagufa, Psik Resha, a lot of the basic Yesodos that govern all of the Chashabbos were actually discussed by the Gemara and the Rishonim, particularly in the, within the realm of the Melach of Tzad. So what was that Melach of Tzad did to be Zoycher to get all the Lamdas? I can't tell you, but that's just the way it is. So the Gemara has a statement about the Melach of Tzad. Hatzad nocha shalo yishchenu. A person traps a snake, and the purpose of trapping the snake is that it shouldn't bite you. So the Gemara says, Hatzad nocha shalo yishchenu potter. Now, for the fact that the Gemara says that tzad nochash l'ashkenu potter, it sounds like it's not really an issue of pikuach nefesh. If it would be pikuach nefesh, I don't need a Gemara to bother to tell me this. I don't need a Gemara to tell me every single case of pikuach nefesh. So it sounds like we're dealing with a situation that's not quite real pikuach nefesh. I'm not holding by the details of the poisonous snakes and non-poisonous snakes, b'zman hazeh. But I can tell you that it doesn't sound like it's really pikuach nefesh. So tzad nochash l'ashkenu potter. Then the Gemara goes one step further. The Gemara says not only potter, but actually potter mutter. Even though the word potter usually has the connotation of potter of al-osam ed-rabbanon, this is an exception to the rule. So how do we understand this halacha? Why should this be so? Really a twofold question. Why should it be potter, not chayav? And then number two, why should potter translate to be mutter? So the Gemara in Dafka Zayin, Masechta Shabbos, quotes in the name of Rav, that the reason why this is mutter is really a two-step process. Number one, this particular statement is following the view of Rabbi Shimon, that malacha shenetzuch lagufa is potter. We spoke about this was many times. Malacha shenetzuch lagufa, meaning that I do a malacha, I know exactly what I'm doing, I'm completely aware of what's happening, but I'm doing it for a very, very different purpose than was practiced in the Mishkan. Of course, the prime example being the person who takes the dead body out of the house. He knows he's carrying, he's doing the ma'isa of Hotzah, but he's doing it for a different tachlis, for a different purpose. He tries to get rid of something rather than to use it. That's a malacha shenetzuch lagufa. So it happens to be the Rabbi Shimon's of the opinion that Malach Shentuch L'Gufa is Potter. It's not an Issa Min HaTorah, it's only an Issa Min HaRabbanan. Comes Rav and tells us, since this statement is following Rabbi Shimon, that generally Malach Shentuch L'Gufa is only Issa Min HaRabbanan, here they lifted the Issa Min HaRabbanan because from Makom Tzahar. Even though a person is not going to get killed by the snake, well, it's not going to be the most pleasant thing to be bit by the snake, I imagine, and therefore... Therefore, what would otherwise have been an Issa D'Rabbanan translates to become Mutar L'Chatchila. So really two steps in the process according to Rav's understanding of this din. Hatzad Nachash L'Eshchenu Potter. First you have to explain away why it's not Chayev, why it's only Potter. Then you have to make the next jump, why it's not even Potter, why it's actually Mutar. But everything is assuming that Rabbi Shimon is correct. If you disagree with Rabbi Shimon, if you hold like the other view, Rabbi Yehuda, that Malach Shentuch L'Gufa is in fact Chayav, so then there's nothing to talk about. Then the Nisa Deraisa is short of Pikuach Nefesh, there's nothing to discuss. That's the simple reading of the Gemara Masechta Shabbos and Daf Kuf Zayin. The problem is that there's another Gemara in Masechta Shabbos that doesn't seem to understand this halacha the same way. I say doesn't seem because the Gemara never addresses it explicitly. The Gemara quotes that who is the one who said that potter means potter of al mutter? So it happens to be Shmuel who held that way. Omar Shmuel, kol p'turei Shabbos potter of al asur, chutzpi three. There were three cases where Shmuel highlights that when it says potter, potter means potter of al mutter. We're not going to talk about the other two right now. We're just going to focus on this one. So Omar Shmuel, kol p'turei Shabbos potter of al asur, chutzpi gimel, and this is one of the gimel. This is one of the three. So you see that the Amora Shmuel subscribes to this din as well. He is explaining the Shabbos Potter Mutter. So he also accepts the din of Atzad Nachash L'Shchenu being Potter / Mutter. The only problem is, we happen to know for a fact that Shmuel is one of those Amoraim who happens to follow the view of Rabbi Yehuda. Shmuel happens to be one who paskins like Rabbi Yehuda, that in fact, Lachash L'Shchenu L'Gufa is really truly Chayav. As such, Shmuel L'Shitaso, who holds that Malach Shentuch L'Gufa is Chayav, obviously cannot be learning this lomdus in Hatzad Nachash Lo Yishchenu being mutter because of Malach Shentuch L'Gufa. So the starting point is we have a braisa, we have Tanoim, we have this tradition called Hatzad Nachash Lo Yishchenu mutter. That's the starting point. Everyone supposedly agrees to that statement. We're trying to figure out what's that based on. So if we were drawing on a blackboard, we'd have the statement on top, two lines. So we have one approach, one track is to go down the route of Malacha Shein Tzrich L'Gufa being Potter, and Potter now becomes Mutter because Mechum Tzar. The problem is Shmuel obviously cannot go down that track, because Shmuel personally held that Malacha Shein Tzrich L'Gufa is Chayav, he passed like Rabbi Yehuda, so we have a question mark on the other track. We're not sure what the other beer in this halacha is. We're not sure how to get to that same conclusion of a tzad nachash lashchana being potter umutter if you don't go down the route of malach shetzich legufa. Not only is this a problem in Shmuel, Shmuel, we love Shmuel, we love all the Amorim, but so maybe we don't follow Shmuel, we don't understand Shmuel. But the problem that makes it even more down to earth for us is that the Rambam becomes a problem in halacha. Because the Rambam happens to paskin like Shmuel, the Rambam happens to be the Rishon who paskins like Rabbi Yehuda, the Malacha Shein Tzrich L'Gufa is Chayev, and yet the Rambam still quotes a Tzadok Shtashchen of Potter Mutter. So now we have a real problem. So we have a problem in terms of, in the period of the Amorim, we have a problem. We don't understand how Shmuel learned Pshan and a Tzadok Shtashchen of Mutter, and we don't understand how the Rambam paskins the Halacha. There has to be another track. There has to be another route, another way to understand the background to a Tzadok Shtashchen of. So this is really the background for the next sugya. What is the other way? We have some phantom shot somewhere. It's got to exist. It has to be there, because otherwise Shmuel doesn't make sense, the Rambam doesn't make sense. There's got to be another pshat, but the Gemara didn't tell us what the other pshat is, so we have to use a little bit of creativity, a little bit of our own imagination, to try to give another beer, an alternate beer, in this halacha of a tzad nachash l'ashchanu, without committing ourselves to malach shem tzich l'guf and being water. So, we are not the first ones to deal with this dilemma. Already the Baal Halachas Gedolos. Baal Halachas Gedolos goes way, way back. It was a work that was written in the days of the Gaonim. We're talking about hundreds of years before Rashi and Tosfos. A work written in the days of the Gaonim. The only issue with the Baal Halachas Gedolos is we're not sure who wrote it. There's a Machlokes HaRishonim who exactly was the author of the Baal Halachas Gedolos. There were two contemporaries. One say it was one tradition was it was Rabbi Hudoi Gaon, one of the Gaonim from above, Rabbi Hudoi Gaon. The other tradition was that it was somebody Rabbi Shimon Kara, so different, same period of time, somebody different. If it was Rabbi Hudoi Gaon, then it wasn't written by himself. Rabbi Hudoi Gaon was blind. It was written by his Tamidim. That means it was his Tamidim, but writing over the Shiurim, the different things that he was saying. So no matter who exactly was the author of the Baal Halachas Gedolos, it's quite an authoritative sefer. It goes, predates Rav Haigon, predates the goes back to the 800s, something like that. So you're talking about a really, really early source. It was already bothered with this kasha. How could it be that, on the one hand, Tzad Nachash L'Shchenu is Mutter, that everybody seems to subscribe to, and the only beer that the Gemara gives is based on Malach Shem Tzrich L'Gufa, which isn't going to work according to everybody, because Shmuel for sure is not going to buy into that. So what other option do we have available to us? So it comes about Malach Gedolos and tells us the real Heter, or at least the alternate Heter, for Tzad Nachash L'Shchenu, goes back to the area of Halacha that we try to avoid, namely Pikuach Nefesh. Our initial reaction was, oh, snake bites, it must be Pikuach Nefesh, and therefore it's Mutter. So we don't want to go down that route, because if it's really, truly authentic Pikuach Nefesh, I don't need Shmuel to tell me it's Mutter, I don't need a Gemara, I don't need a Mishnah, I don't need a Braisa, I don't need Chazal to tell me if it's dangerous, so then it's Dechi Shabbos. Everybody knows Pikuach Nefesh is Mutter and Shabbos. Comes about Lachos Gedolos and tells us, the Chiddush of Tzad Nachash is that I wouldn't have thought this was really Pikuach Nefesh. Kamash Balon, it is Pikuach Nefesh. What's the Kamash Balon? What, this is a medical issue? No. It's a new definition, or an extended definition of Pikuach Nefesh. Comes about Halachas Gedolos and says, there's a principle in Halacha that's called Hezek Rabin. Namely that, it's something that poses a danger for the Olam. Not just a personal danger, something that poses a potential danger for a lot of people. Says about Halachas Gedolos, a Hezek Rabin, by definition, is treated as Pikuach Nefesh. That's quite a chiddush, because normally Pikuach Nefesh means I can make a real direct statement. Chas Shom, see a guy's having a heart attack. So there's no question, that's a chashash of Pikuach Nefesh. Let's say a woman's in labor, so we assume that's a chashash of Pikuach Nefesh. There's a very exact, very specific medical condition taking place, that's called Pikuach Nefesh. Here, we're talking a very general statement. There's a snake floating around, there are people walking around, and there's a snake around. So if it would be Mamasha, we could say with certainty this is a poisonous snake that's about to bite you. Okay, then I call that Pikuach Nefesh. But here, it's very unclear. nobody's life is really in danger. Doctors can't tell us with any degree that this is a real pigul nefesh, but it's a hezek shel rabim. A hezek shel rabim is automatically considered to be a chashash pigul nefesh, and therefore you're permitted to trap the snake. So comes about, Lachas Gedolos says, according to Rabbi Yehuda, according to Shmuel, and according to the Rambam in years to come, he didn't say that, but I'm telling you that, who paskin that, Malachash and Tzich Lagufa is Chayev. So Tzad Nachash is a real Diaraisa. There's nothing to hide. You can't hide behind Malachash and Tzich Lagufa. There's a real Diaraisa on the table, and it's still going to be Mutter based on this newfangled definition of Pikuach Nefesh, i.e., this new equation called Hezek Rabim equals Pikuach Nefesh. So comes the Ramban and says he doesn't understand what the Malachas Kedos is talking about. He says, if there's a real danger, if the doctors, the veterinarians, the snake experts tell us there's a real danger, so then it's a regular din of pikuach nefesh. What do I need? Why do I need a gemara? What do I need a brice? What do I need Rabbi Yehuda? What do I need Shmuel to tell me that if there's a real danger, you could intervene on Shabbos? And if it's not a real danger, nobody's really going to die. It's just that someone's going to get hurt. It's hezek around him. So then, hadakush l'duchta, the question is better than the answer. So why would I do it? If it's not pikuach nefesh, you can't do a deraisa. Someone's going to get hurt. Terrible, sorry. But we can't do a deraisa to prevent somebody from getting hurt. So comes the Ramban and says, it's very hard to understand this Balach's Gedolos. It's almost at the point of, guess what we call it, a little bit overkill. I don't mean that as a pun in terms of that. So yeah, it's a little bit of an overkill. Namely, if you're making a pikuach nefesh, if you're already declaring that it's pikuach nefesh, then why do I need a gemara to tell me that it's mutter? It's not really pikuach nefesh. So if it's not really pikuach nefesh, so then why is it mutter in the first place? So we can't quite put our fingers on this new category called hezek ram that the Balach's Gedolos has created for us. We appreciate why he felt the necessity to create this category, because he's stuck with the Gemara of Tzadok HaShloshchenu. How can it be the Gemara says you can trap the snake to avoid it from biting you, but we're not quite sure we understand this category of Hezek Rabim. And last one wants to say, a Yesod, as follows. We know that an Uchus Pikuach Nefesh, with a Klal Gadol, Safek Pikuach Nefesh, is Mutter. That's the Klal, Safek Pikuach Nefesh is Mutter. Now, even within the rule of Safek Pikuach Nefesh, not all sfeikas are the same. There are gradations, there are dargas, even what's considered to be a suffix. A suffix has to be within the world of reality. There has to be some degree of real concern in order for it to qualify as a suffix ruach nefesh. Moshe Lamadavadam, a famous tshuva from the Chassam Sofer, that there was a government decree hundreds of years ago. One time it was in Germany, and then it was in Hungary, and a government decree that when somebody dies, you have to wait 3 days before you bury the dead. Why was that? Very simple. At one time, they started to bury somebody who had supposedly just died, and the person woke up and informed us that he wasn't dead yet. So the government didn't want people to be burying live people. So they made a gezeira, they made a decree, you have to wait 72 hours before you can bury somebody. So that was Maisa Shaka Choya. So this, of course, caused a very, very serious problem in the Jewish community. The halacha is supposed to bury somebody right away. As soon as you realize that he's dead, so you bury him right away. So it's a shav halalas ameis, serious covenant of ameis issues. So this was a big to-do. So it was a big argument about how to deal with this and what should we do with the government. But this was already a very serious halachic slash political problem that was taking place in the Jewish community.
It's interesting. Their gezeira, their decree, sort of like would be something we would be concerned.
Right. Oh, so that's what Chassam Sofer writes in the Tshuva. He writes that, but we're more concerned about Pikuach Nefesh than the Goyim are. So why don't we treat this as a problem? So says Chassam Sofer, this is not even Pikuach Nefesh. Says Chassam Sofer, once in 10 billion times, somebody got buried who wasn't alive. That's not something the Torah's Messiahis do. The Torah gave us a halacha. The halacha is that once you know the person is dead, then the mitzvah kikavet renovi abu kicks in. How do you know the person is dead? So the Chassam Sofer says, he gives you one paragraph to tell you, how do we know the person is dead? That one paragraph became very, very controversial 200 years later, because that became the whole discussion about brain death. Because he starts to describe, well, we take a look, the person is not breathing, he's not moving, so we have certain simani misa, he quotes Shigur Masechas Yuma, he says we have tradition, to Lach HaMoshe Messina. How do you determine whether the person is dead? So in the middle of that tshuva, he starts talking about what the determinations of death is. Again, that's a fascinating part of the tshuva, not for now. So in the middle of that shoot, Chassam Sofer writes, there's a chance, it really happened, that once in a blue moon they buried somebody who's alive. So says Chassam Sofer, that's Echad Mine Elef Alofim, one of 10 million chance. He says, that's not even beged the sofek that the Torah is chashish to. That's not called piguach nefesh. That's too crazy, too wild. That's not considered to be a piguach nefesh. So even though we're very, very machmir on sofek piguach nefesh, but there's some kind of halachic criteria what's considered to be in the category of sofek. Perhaps what the Baal Halachos Gedolos is telling us is that once you have a hezek harabim, it becomes very, very difficult to make a judgment call. When you're dealing with a one person, so I can make some kind of statistical statement. I could say the odds that anything's going to happen are so minuscule, it doesn't enter into the category of pikuach nefesh, and therefore you can't be mechal Shabbos for it. When you have a chezek sharabim, so you have what we call, in the modern world, public health. When you're dealing with an issue of public health, it becomes much, much more difficult to make that call. I'm going to say that nobody's going to die from the snake. It's hard to say, hard to know. Once you have a potential hezek of rabim, then to say with absolute certainty that nothing to worry about, there's nothing to be concerned about, that's a much more difficult statement to make. But the other Baal Halachos Gedolos seems to be saying that if an individual would be coming and asking the shaila, is it pikuach nefesh? It's not pikuach nefesh. But once it affects a group of people, then we throw our hands up and say, we can't ascertain that anymore. We can't make that judgment call anymore. And now what would otherwise not have been in the gather of a safek pikuach nefesh has now entered into the realm of safek pikuach nefesh. So comes the Baal Halachos Gedolos, and whether our beer is correct, whether another beer that's correct, the bottom line is the heter to trap the snake is based on hezek harabim, which is a new type of a definition of pikuach nefesh. Question is, where does this come from? Is there any gemara for this? Any source for this? I mean, the Baal Halachos Gedolos is in a sense making this up to explain away an otherwise difficult gemara. Is there any source in Shas, in the gemara itself, for this idea that we could water down, so to speak, the definition of pikuach nefesh when we're dealing with the hezek harabim? So there is a gemara that we're going to talk a lot about in a malacha coming up down the line, probably not in the next couple of weeks, but not that far down the line. The Gemara is talking about the malacha of kiboy. Kiboy is extinguishing a flame, because one of the lavatas malachas. The Gemara discusses the following shaila: are you permitted to extinguish something when it's potentially dangerous? Potentially somebody can get hurt, or potentially someone can die from. Are you permitted to extinguish it? What's the case? So the Gemara talks about mechaben gachela shel mateches and mechaben gachela shel eitz. If you have either, you're walking in the street, and you see there's a piece of hot metal, there's a piece of glowing hot metal that's sitting there in the middle of the street. I guess the modern day, see a wire, see a hot glowing metal sitting there, someone may touch it, who knows what's going to happen. That's a gechela shel mateches. Or if you see gechela shel eitz, you see burning, you see somebody left a barbecue from Shavuos. They, instead of putting it out, they threw it into the street. So now you have the hot coals, wood that's still burning. What's the deal? Are you permitted to extinguish that or not? So the Gemara says it's a complicated shaila. So the Gemara says it depends on a couple of factors. So first of all, the Gemara says, is extinguishing this gechela shel mateches or gechela shel eitz, is this a deraisa or is this a derabbanan? So first glance, of course it's a deraisa. It's kibbutz, one of the lamatas malachas. Not so simple, the Gemara says. According to the view of Rabbi Shimon, who holds that malacha shel etzricha leguf is potter, putting out a fire for the purpose of just putting it out, nobody should get hurt, that's not a deraisa. What was the deraisa of putting out a fire? The deraisa of kibbutz, the malacha tzricha leguf of kibbutz, is only when it's done for the purpose of making a coal. I mean, that's why they did kibbutz in the Mishkan. Why did they put fires out in the Mishkan? Because they were trying to create charcoals, they were trying to melt the metal, trying to do a kind of metal work. So they would light fires of wood, and then they would extinguish them when they would be coals, and they would use them to whatever metal process they were doing. So comes the Gemara and says that when you put out a flame for the purpose of doing something constructive, something positive, you're trying to make a charcoal, that's a malacha tzricha legufa. When you just have a candle and you blow the candle out and you're not going to use the candle afterwards for anything, that's not called a malacha tzricha legufa. That's only in a seder rabbanan. So comes the Gemara and says that if you're walking in the street and you see there's a coal on fire and you want to put it out because you don't want anybody to get hurt, so the Gemara says that's okay. That's perfectly permissible. You know why? It's not a deraisa anyway, because it's a malacha she'ena tzrich legufa. It's only a derabanan, and if it's a derabanan to prevent people from getting hurt, that's okay. Almost identical to the tzad nochash part of the story. So the Gemara says, according to Bishimon, it's fine. You can put out any coal, any fire whatsoever. If it's people can get hurt on it, not a problem. But, comes the Gemara, what would Rabbi Yehuda say about this? What would Rabbi Yehuda hold about putting out such a flame? So you can't hide behind Malacha Shem Tzich L'Gufa. That's a problem. So what should the din be? So if you would have asked me, I would have said it should be Elser. So Kamsa Gemara says, no, not so simple. Kamsa Gemara makes the following chiluk within Rabbi Yehuda. Mechabin gachela shel teches, avalo gachela shel eitz. This is within the worldview of Rabbi Yehuda, who denies the heter of Malacha Shem Tzich L'Gufa. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's not, you don't have a green light, you can't put anything out. But you can put out a mechaben gechel shemateches. You can put out a glowing piece of metal. That's fine, that's okay, according to Rabbi Yehuda. The question is, what's that based on? The Marashach. If you really hold like Rabbi Yehuda that Malacha Shem Tzich L'Gufa is chayav, so you have a deraisa on your hands. If you hold like Rabbi Shimon, then everything's mutter. So that split is very hard to understand. It's like in life, we always say, in lumdus and in life, it's very hard to explain away the middle position. The extreme view is always very, very simple to explain. It doesn't mean they're right, it just means they're easy to explain logically. So I understand, you want to tell me that everything's mutter. You can put out whatever you want because it's Malacha Shem Tzich L'Gufa, that I understand. You want to tell me everything's aser because you deny Malacha Shem Tzich L'Gufa being mutter, that I also understand. But to walk this tightrope and say, well, some kind of coals are okay to put out. The glowing metal is all right. The glow, the charcoal of wood is also based on who? Based on what? What's that distinction based on? So the Gemara doesn't explain, but the Baal Halachos Gedolos does explain. Comes the Baal Halachos Gedolos and says, we're dealing with the Deraisa. This is Rabbi Yehuda's territory. It's Malacha Shem Tzich L'Gufa is also in Deraisa, and it should have been also. There's only one thing that could be matter, and that's called Pikuach Nefesh. If it's Pikuach Nefesh, then I don't need the Gemara to tell me it's Mutter. Says the Baal HaChassidus, no. It's not real Pikuach Nefesh, it's Hezek HaRabim. That's why it's Mutter. A Gachela Shel Mateches is a legitimate Hezek HaRabim. A Gachela Shel Eitz is not a legitimate Hezek HaRabim. What's the difference? Very simple, says the Baal HaChassidus. A Gachela Shel Mateches means there's a burning hot piece of metal. The problem is, there are no flames on a burning hot piece of metal. Nobody could tell that it's burning hot. So you see, there's a piece of metal sitting on the floor that's very, 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 very hot. Someone's going to touch it by mistake and get hurt. Someone's going to get burnt. And there's an off chance that someone may actually die from it. It's a very, very unlikely, but it's a Hezek HaRabim. Hezek HaRabim, remember we said, public health, public safety, we don't take any chances. It's a Safek Pikuach Nefesh. A Gachela Shemateches constitutes a Hezek HaRabim, a potential Hezek HaRabim, because nobody knows that it's burning. Whereas a Gachela Shel Eitz, what do you mean nobody knows it's burning? It's burst in flames. You can see that it's flame. It's burnt. Everyone sees that the piece of wood is on fire. Who's going to touch a piece of wood on fire? So when it comes to it, it's almost like the mush of a down wire. A down wire, nobody knows, Chalila, whether it's alive or not. You can't tell. You have a piece of wood that's on fire, you have to do sure. Everybody sees, it's flame. So of course, no one's going to touch the burning piece of wood. So that's exactly what the Baal HaSkadala says. That the difference between the Gachela Shematechas and the Gachela Shalates is not a halakhic difference, it's a public safety difference. One is more of a concern, one is less of a concern. Gachela Shematechas, people may get hurt on because they can't see. Gachela Shalates, nobody's going to get hurt on. What's the underlying principle of this entire sugya according to the Baal HaLachos Gedolos? That public health, public safety, constitutes a chashash of pikuach nefesh. So comes the Baal HaLachos Gedolos and says, just as I'm telling you pshat in Gebecham and Gechel Shematechas, is based on Hezek HaRabim being equated to Pikuach Nefesh. That's the reason why Tzadnachash Leishchanu, why you could trap the snakes as well, even though there's no direct, exact Pikuach Nefesh, we can call it a quasi Pikuach Nefesh called Hezek HaRabim. This is quite a chiddush. You have to be a gaon, you have to be ready before the Rishonim to say such a thing. You have to be a real Ruach HaKodesh to say such a thing. That there's such a category called Hezek HaRabim equal Pikuach Nefesh. To be matan deraisas, you can be matan as a skila based on a quote unquote public health, public safety kind of an issue, even though there's no exact direct Pikuach Nefesh. That's a tremendous chiddush. Most of the Rishonim did not accept this. The Ramban did not accept this. Most of the Rishonim did not go down this route. But he had a Gemara. What do you do with the Gechel Shematechas story? So the answer is that most of the Rishonim learned the Gemara about Gechel Shematechas totally differently, which is really hopefully a sugi we'll get to down the line in Kiboy, but just quickly for our purposes now, most of the Rishonim learned the reason why Gechel Shematechas is not a problem on Shabbos is not because it's any more or any less dangerous than the Gechel Shalates. The reason why it's okay is because there's no Deraisa. Why is there no Deraisa? This is Rabbi Yehuda speaking. Malacha Shem Tzich L'Gufa is chayev. So why is there no diaraisa? Because there's no diaraisa of kibui on mateches. The malacha of kibui doesn't apply to mateches. It doesn't apply to a hot glowing metal. You take a water, you take something and you quote unquote extinguish, you put out the glowing metal. That is not malacha diaraisa of kibui. That's why it's mutter b'machom hezek harabim. If it would have been a deraisa, like eitz, it would have been asar. Because it's not a deraisa anyway, therefore it's mutter. Now the multi-million dollar question is, well, why is it not a deraisa? What happened to kibbuy? So one could go down one of two routes. Either one could say that the malacha of kibbuy, the very essence of the malacha of kibbuy, has to be something that could potentially be a coal. Doesn't mean you have to personally make it into a coal, but it has to at least be in the parsha being a coal. If it can't be made into a coal, if it's nothing, it's just a glowing metal, just put it out, that's so far from the Mishkan, it's so far from the model of kibbuy in the Mishkan, that it's not a deraisa. That's one possibility.
That would give it a het on the tzad sheni by Bishul. Because if it's not the deraisa as far as kibbuy, then what would
it be? Oh, you don't mean Bishul, you mean Havara. So I'm walking a very, very fine line here. One could say that as a detail in the kibbuy, it's not called kibbuy because the very essence, the very tzu, the malach of kibbuy, is such the creation of a kol. It has to have the potential to create a kol. One can go one step further and say, as Henry is already alluding to, that, well, wait a second. If it's not just not kibbuy, maybe it's not havara either. Maybe the nature of the malach havara has to be something that's actually burning, something that's actually in flames, something which is just glowing but not in flames. Maybe that's not called havara altogether. The difference between those two biurim that I just said makes a lot of difference, i.e. electricity. You turn on a light, and assuming all the other, forget about all the other potential malachas or isurim, just the fact there's a filament, the old bulbs, the incandescent bulbs, there's a piece of metal that you just made glow. Did you just do havara deraisa or not? So if you say, the way I said it, that it's a p'tor and kibbuy, but it's still called an eish, it's still called havara, then it would be an outright deraisa. If you say what Henry just said, then you have a whole new approach to burning filaments and light bulbs. Maybe it's not a deraisa. Maybe it's no worse than a gechela shematechas, which the Gemara says is only a derabanan. So we're not going to go down the route that you just went. The Avnei Nezer talks about the shayla. The Avnei Nezer says, quote, it's a posik in Chumash. He says, of course it's a deraisa havara. It's not burning. It's not. There's no flames and anything. So what? It doesn't matter. It could be havara deraisa without an actual flame. I'll bring you Raya. V'hine ha-sneh bo'er ba'esh v'ha-sneh enen ukal. He says, the sneh of Moshe Rabbeinu, it was bo'er ba'esh. The Torah calls it a be'era. It's a havara. And there were no flames. Enen ukal. It was just glowing. It was a glowing sneh. It was a light bulb. It was an electric sneh. That's what he's describing. Hine ha-sneh bo'er ba'esh v'ha-sneh enen ukal. It wasn't being consumed. And the Torah still calls it a havara. You see from here, it's still called Havara. You could argue with the Raya a little bit. It's not exactly an ironclad halachic Raya.
It's sort of like going away from the Indian and the Gemara, because it seems so pashut that if the glowing metal, which we know is, you know, something that can ignite fire and has the potential of doing it, is a durabanum, and that's why I like the first shot better.
The Baal Lachas Gedolos. Okay. So Henry, since the days of the Gaonim, no one sided with the Baal Lachas Gedolos. You know, the Rishonim didn't like his pshat. But okay, you can bring it back to life. The Baal Lachas Gedolos is pshat. So Chol Panim, we're not learning the Kibbuy Havara part. So keep that on the, no pun intended, keep it on the back burner in this one. But that was a bad pun. Wasn't meant either. But
otherwise, you open up the kosher switch.
Yeah. Last thing we want to do. So getting back to that story, the Baal Lachas Gedolos has given us a tremendous chiddush in this entire sugya. This idea, this potential equation between Hezek HaRabim and Pikuach Nefesh, particularly that he gave this pshat, not so much to answer the kibbuy problem, but really for our purposes to answer the tzadachash problem. Of course, it was helpful to know the kibbuy a little bit. Hopefully, that's from tomorrow. We'll have to see other Rishonim have very, very different ways of understanding tzadachash rather than going down the root of the Baal Lachas Gedolos. Okay, we'll try to see my